In the studio following Monday evening council meetings is Mayor Terry Renner. Terry, thanks for joining us on Sound Ideas.
Awesome. Thank you, Mike.
You can join this conversation at 309-438-8910. What's your question about the sales tax and whether the city has a responsibility to help share the bill for mental health care? Do you support a sales tax increase to 8.25% to help fund roads or sewers or to address the city's pension obligations? And what about other possibilities for the tax, a sports complex, transit, or economic development areas targeted by the town of Normal with their vote to increase the sales tax last week? In the interest of full disclosure, I serve on the Connect Transit Board of Trustees. Terry, the town's tax is contingent upon the city of Bloomington enacting the same increase. Do you have the votes at this point to enact the 1% sales tax increase?
Well, I'm going to be circling back with the city council this week and see where they're coming from, what they think. At the end of the day, though, the council will be taking, as the budget task force did, a very balanced approach. We have certainly on the table cuts, service reductions, perhaps fee increases. Liquor licenses, for example, haven't increased since 1983. We don't charge for video poker machines.
In fact, the city last night approved a contract with an outside firm to actually look at the entire city fee structure.
Exactly. So we have, there are some fees, there's certainly cuts on the table, and then a possible tax increase, which is a sales tax increase. Again, we had a $7 million structural deficit. This is something that has been, this problem of having lots of streets and infrastructure repairs and having a budgetary structural deficit has been about 20 or 30 years in the making. And we now are at a situation where we've got to fix this. We're exploring all of those options, and that's where we are. Now, as I say, I'll be circling back with the point of your question, circling back with the council this week to see where they're coming from and how we move forward.
Based on the comments I heard last night, it looks like you may have 4, maybe 5 votes. Is that your count?
It could be very, very close. I hope that it's not. I hope at the end of the day, I mean, we've got to pay for our services. And I think the council has made great progress in recent years in realizing that you can't just kick the can down. The council is really aggressively pursuing all these options. So I'm confident that the council will do its job and it will pay for our services. Again, there are no free lunches. And essentially what's happened is our costs have gone up a little over 2% a year, 2 to 3% over the years. And we've only had one tax increase in 5 years. And so we either got to cut services, raise some fees, taxes, or a combination. And I think there will be a combination at the end of the day.
And when will the council actually vote? A special meeting in 6 days?
A special meeting on Monday night, the 21st.
And that's also when the council will see or
the budget
vote.
Task force will give its formal presentation. We've seen the outline a couple weeks ago. The chair, Alderman Dave Sage, said it's not going to fundamentally differ, only in minor ways, from what we've seen several weeks ago. So that will be formally presented actually by Alderman Scott Black at Monday night's meeting. And then we will debate and act on, hopefully, the 1% sales tax.
You're playing beat the clock with this process to try to get this sales tax voted in. What's the deadline?
Well, the deadline, our fiscal year, of course, does not end until April 30th. So we are way ahead. We are light years ahead of where we were in the last couple of fiscal years. We've got lots of options on the table for revenues, for service cuts.
But for the sales tax, you have a looming deadline.
Our deadline is actually driven, in this case, by the county. The county's fiscal year begins January 1st. They are going through their budget process. I believe today Bill Wasson was presenting his proposed budget for the county to the McLean County Board. So they're definitely at the point where they need to move. If we're to have a sales tax increase, if this is approved, and we're going to begin to collect it as of January 1st, we have to have our documents and information to the Department of Revenue in Illinois and Springfield by the end of this month. So that's why our timetable is unusually aggressive.
Do you agree with the sales tax? Are you against the sales tax and some of the things it might fund? You can join this conversation at 309-438-8910. I'm in the studio with Mayor Terry Renner.
Can I clarify one thing?
Sure,
though?
Sure,
I mean, there's been a lot of rumors out there, and I've even got lots of emails and phone calls and whatever. The town of Normal's priorities, of course, were reflected in a separate decision-making process than the city of Bloomington. We have different needs. Our structural deficit is clear. There is no question. We have to pay our bills. Our highest priorities are public safety. We know that when talking to our citizens. Public safety is our higher priority, as well as infrastructure. We've got to pay our bills. So there is from what I can tell, absolutely no support at this point, for example, for soccer fields. We don't have the money. We have to fund our pensions. We have to provide 911 service, police, fire, public safety, and fix our streets. So those are our high priorities right now.
And I'll circle back. Yeah, I'll circle back on the soccer fields in just a moment. Closely tied to public safety, though, is mental health care funding.
Absolutely.
Because those two can be closely related in terms of emergency calls to the same residences for people who have issues or issues, you know, outbursts of violence like we saw a few weeks ago in downtown Bloomington. You heard from McLean County Board Chair Matt Sorensen last night regarding mental health. He helped lay out the issue for aldermen. What did you hear about that need?
Well, I think that it's clearly a community need. It's even though the county happens to be the government, the governmental structure that has to actually deal with it. It is a problem from Bloomington. It's a problem for Normal. It's a problem for our entire community. So I absolutely support us coming together with mental health reform. Again, these are our priorities. Mental health reform, fixing our streets, public safety, all of the above. That's where are the bulk of our priorities are right now. And now there was some support, for example, and I'll bring this up since you probably wouldn't want to bring it up as a Connect Transit board member. There seemed to be some support on the council at perhaps after this is passed, if we have money to help match money with the town of Normal to give to Connect Transit. That would be huge for our community. If we could get Sunday service and more regular mass transit service, even if you don't use mass transit, you are benefiting. The people who are working in our community very often need that to get to work. And when people are on buses, they're not on our streets. They're not creating congestion. So for all kinds of reasons, if we have a first-class mass transit service in our community, that is huge for us to attract businesses and to get existing businesses to expand. So if you're really pro-business, you should be pro-Connect Transit.
Let's circle back to mental health for just a moment. Can you characterize the effects as you see them of not funding mental health care, or if the city of Bloomington opted not to participate?
Yeah, I think that would be a disastrous decision. And that is, we've seen in the most recent attack, whether it was an individual downtown knife attack, it was an isolated instance. But this person has been in and out of the mental health system.
And he's been declared unfit to stand trial.
Absolutely. And there's no reason why he should have slipped through the cracks, except that our system is a failure. Now, let me make it clear. I'm not sort of blaming the locals. The thing that we heard last night, whether it was us in Bloomington needing to handle some critical problems, or the county in dealing with mental health, or our school districts, there is a failure of leadership in Springfield. Springfield has abandoned, in a sense, their schools. The schools are fending for themselves. Our community cannot and no longer has a state partner in mental health. We can't count on the state to do anything other than perhaps get in the way of solving our problems.
And let's hear what Mayor Coos had to say about that. Because the state is not funding mental health care as it did in the past, the burden is falling locally. Here's what Mayor Coos, your Town of Normal counterpart, said last week during Sound Ideas about mental health.
And even with state dollars, I think we have a responsibility locally to make sure that we're providing a decent system of care for mentally ill patients, and having a better solution for crisis intervention than putting them in jail.
Some of these priorities, is this a case where a dollar spent now saves $2 down the line? That would probably be the case with mental health.
I think it would. You know, currently, our first responders, police and emergency vehicle EMTs from the fire department, are the first responders for mental crises in the community. And what can be frustrating about that is, they have no place to put them. If there's a bed in a hospital, then they can get them there, but often there isn't. So they're in jail, and then they're released, and it can be a cycle. You know, our police departments can go back to the same house time after time again, dealing with these emergencies.
And that's a waste of resources.
Oh, it's a huge waste of resources.
What's your reaction to what Mayor Coos had to say? And does the city of Bloomington have a responsibility to fund McLean County mental health care?
First of all, I absolutely, totally, unequivocally agree with Mayor Chris Coos on this. He's absolutely right on. We see the same exact thing in Bloomington. And so when we have someone who has been Has had an incident because of mental health issues, or maybe we have to take them to the emergency room. We have to have our first responders on site in the emergency room to protect that person and to protect the emergency room personnel. It's a huge drain on our public safety expenditures. And so even if you're not going to do it for the decent moral reasons and a community-wide commitment to do the right thing, it's costing us serious amounts of money.
So it's more cost effective to just address the problem.
Absolutely.
That's Mayor Terry Renner. You can ask your question about last night's council meeting and a discussion of a sales tax increase by calling 309-438-8910. You heard from the superintendents of District 87 and Unit 5 last night, the two local school districts. Does the city have the responsibility to divert sales tax revenue or increase beyond 1% to give the schools additional funds, especially after voters defeated a sales tax referendum for schools in March of 2014?
Well, that's something that I'm going to be circling back with our with my city council members. I've known some. Some have said that they're sympathetic and they might support it. Others have said they wouldn't. I'm going to be circling back with my council. But I have to say, you know, it is a sad commentary that our state, that is one of the highest educated states in the nation, has essentially left their school districts in such bad fiscal shape, and that they're not providing the assistance. If anything, they're giving unfunded mandates. We see that at the city level as well. The state of Illinois is not helping local governments. We may be in a fend-for-yourself federalism era in Illinois, but in some respects, it's worse than that.
And here's what Scott Black, he had some very strong words about how the state has abdicated its responsibility. Here's Scott Black from last night's council meeting.
One theme I found throughout the whole conversation was really the abdication of the state and its responsibility on so many different organizations and groups and the impact that's been felt broadly. And what makes me angry about this conversation is where are our representatives at the state level hearing this part of it? Because this is all getting thrown back to us. The ideas that have been presented this evening, especially in terms of mental health, Connect Transit, these are community goods. And yet we are having to put this shoulder the burden on this because the state has really passed on their responsibility. And yet year after year, we elect the same people to the state with the same mantras. Oh, you know, it's hard in Springfield. Oh, you know, this person's the fault. To me, the fault is at the state level. And it is incumbent upon us to point our rage at them because they have really failed us across the board. I've told the story before. When I was growing up, my dad told me anything the state of Illinois does is bad. I have yet to see him proven wrong. And we are living that out right now. I mean, we don't have a budget. I mean, it is awful that we are in this situation.
So really, the revenue increases, that's Scott Black from last night's council meeting, really the revenue increases we're looking at locally are just to make up for what the state isn't funding today.
Absolutely. And essentially, that's part of what Connect Transit is facing, what the school districts are facing. Again, we don't have state leadership. Now, I don't know that I would agree with Scott Black totally. I don't think that there is nothing that the state of Illinois does that is
sure,
not good.
Sure, I think he was a little frustrated.
He was absolutely, and I absolutely agree with and share his frustration. And so, but at the end of the day, we've got to make our decisions for our community and what's best. And we know what our priorities are: mental health reform, public safety, infrastructure, fixing our streets. And at the end of the day, there are no free lunches, and people have to understand that that's the case. No matter what we do, service cuts or fee increases or tax increases, in order to make this happen, we are going to have people who are harmed.
If the theme last night was, you know, the lack of state funds, the theme of our conversation today maybe is responsibility. Responsibility to fund mental health care, responsibility for public safety, responsibility to pay your bills. When was the last time the sales tax was increased? And is there a responsibility or obligation on the part of a municipality to regularly raise revenue to pay for services and amenities?
All right. Well, the first question is about 10 years ago, and part of that was earmarked for the BCPA. The problem, of course, that many advocates of the BCPA will say is that the council
has been peeled away,
has raided that fund, you know, and come back. But the latter question, it depends on the state of your economy. In the 90s, we were boom, 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 and so you didn't have to raise taxes very often, because if your revenues grow because the economy's growing, then you can cover inflationary costs. And let's also be clear, the city of Bloomington today, other than we're aggressive in pursuing economic development, much of the time that doesn't cost us anything. We're not doing anything we didn't do 3, 4, or 5 years ago. We're talking about inflationary increases, mostly in public safety. Also, if you add parks and rec and public works, that's about, that's closer to 85-90% of our budget. There are core services. At the local level, you know what you're getting.
That seems like an inverse relationship, that you don't raise taxes when the economy is good, but then you need the money when the economy is bad, and right, people are less likely to be able to afford the taxes.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's a catch-22, especially, again, if you're at the local level and you have limited tools, because we are creatures of the state. That is, local governments don't have any right to exist. States can abolish or slice or dice us. So we're really at the mercy, all local governments are throughout the United States, are at the mercy of their state capitals. And unfortunately, we've got a dysfunctional state capital, and it is what it is. We have to move forward and make progress in our community, and we will.
You can join this conversation at 309-438-8910. What's your question about the sales tax discussion in the Bloomington Normal community? You can ask Mayor Terry Renner right now. That number again, 309-438-8910. The city and the town seem to be moving toward this 1% sales tax increase. The town's already approved it. The city is going to address this next week. 25% of the resulting revenue goes to mental health, another quarter to streets and infrastructure. 50% of the money raised would address the structural deficit. Is that enough to pull the city out of its budget hole?
No. We still are going to have, again, the Budget Task Force is going to give us, formally report the recommendations we've already seen several weeks ago for cuts in services or increase in fees, user fees for people who use some of the services will need to pay more. And they've also, of course, got tax increases, some tax increases recommended. One is a penny sales tax. So there's that commonality. But that actually will not close our entire structural deficit. And again, we've got a couple of decades worth of sins. We've not invested in our infrastructure like we should have. We spent way too much money, to say the least, on new growth. New growth, should have paid for itself. Existing taxpayers shouldn't have funded that. And there are many kinds of situations that we're now trying to clean up.
Based on what you know that's in the Budget Task Force report, the cuts combined with the good news you got about pensions last night, mm-hmm, combined with the sales tax, can you reach black? Can you reach zero in your deficit?
We have to. And so, yes. It's going to have to
that's
be.
That's the trajectory.
It has to happen. Now, if for some reason the city council does not pass this sales tax, then we really have to dig in, dig deep, and we may very well have to. The kinds of cuts will be so dramatic. Again,
will we see an instance of you threatening to veto the budget?
It depends on how irresponsible it is. I don't think it's going to be irresponsible. I did have two waves of veto threats a year and a half ago, because the budgets were just not, they weren't sustainable and they weren't fiscally responsible. Now, and I said I would assign any budget that really closed the gap. So any set of recommendations from the Budget Task Force, I said I wouldn't pick them apart, because probably nothing in there will I like, right? So I said I wouldn't pick it apart. But if we get to a point where we are not paying our bills, I will absolutely consider not just a veto, but the line item veto. I mean, if we've got to be at it all next summer, if I've got to go back, I hope I don't have to do this, right? Go back and forth with sending line item back to the council after line item.
You do have the time at this point, though. That's the one.
We
luxury,
do have the time. Right. That is the one good thing that we have. But I'm not going down that path, because the council's made great progress in recent years. We have gotten our act together. We've got a new team. We've got a new energy. So I don't think we are at all going to have ghosts of council's past. I think we're moving forward and making progress for the future. So I'm optimistic that the council will vote, do the right thing, pay their bills, clearly reflect their priorities in public safety and infrastructure and pensions, and move forward.
Darren is on the line. He has a question about mental health. Darren, you're on the air with Mayor Terry Renner.
Yes, I don't have a question about mental health.
Okay.
My question relates to the deficit and spending, and I got my first name on Eric. My question relates that I'm not for a sales tax increase. The sales tax increase that was done for PGA, I believe, is also funding the Coliseum, which loses money constantly. Why are we continuing to operate an arena Coliseum that can't even make its own operating cost break-even point? That's my first question.
Okay, well, Darren, let's go to that one first. Mayor, what's your reaction to what?
The absolute clear answer is that it's built and we have to pay the mortgage. If we shut it down, it would really cost us even more money. We wouldn't even get the revenues of the economic benefits. So that's a decision many years ago.
But right now, we're paying not only the debt service, but we're paying money to operate this facility. If we close the facility, we wouldn't have any cost of operating it at all, or minimal cost. Right now, I don't even know what the number is, but it's a huge number.
Well, Darren,
the operating cost is non-zero. It's not substantial, but there is a multi-million-dollar benefit to the community. I'm not saying that the Coliseum should have been built, but there's a multi-million-dollar benefit to the community in jobs and in other things that happen. And there's also a Pepsi Ice Center that's actually quite thriving that is part of that. So we're going to have to pay the mortgage no matter what. We do have some economic benefits. And if the place just sat dormant, that would even be another dilapidated building in downtown as an economic drag on the community. So, we're stuck with it.
I question the economic benefits of the U.S. Cellular Coliseum. And by the way, when the naming rights go away, it's going to be a bigger deficit, which I believe is just around the corner. Again, I'm not in favor of sales tax increase. The only thing we should be putting money on in the town is fixing our infrastructure.
Okay, Darren, we're running out of time, but we got it against the Coliseum and spend money on infrastructure. One quick question, Mayor. You met with council and staff for 8 hours on Saturday, a strategic planning session. You're looking at years beyond this fiscal year. How did that go? What did you hear from council in terms of priorities?
I think we had a great 8 hours working together and really getting to know each other. And it was, I think, a great time for us, and I think it was really helping us move together as a team. In terms of priorities, economic development, we actually did kind of an exercise at the end. Economic development and infrastructure, capital improvement, those were the high priorities of our city council, and obviously public safety. So those were the top priorities. It doesn't mean that there aren't other things that we can do, but in terms of the number one, you know, at 500 feet, things that we're consistently going to pursue, those were at the top. So I thought it was a very productive very productive retreat, and I really look forward to moving forward.
Terry, thanks for your time, as
Thank
always.
You.
Terry Renner was elected Bloomington mayor in April of 2013. Next week, Mayor Chris Koos is back on Tuesday following Monday evening's Town of Normal Council meeting. You're listening to Sound Ideas.